What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host. And today we're talking about stewardship of your body and biblical counseling. Exercise, nutrition, sleep, all of the things that our culture preaches. We've never done an episode to talk about really a biblical balance and thinking these through. So in our first episode, I want to talk through stewardship in the biblical context. And then in our next episode, you as listeners have written in and asked particular things. So I'll get into particular applications of biblical stewardship. But let me pose a question for you. Hang on, I got to get down and do a push-up. That one push-up is done. All right, I'm back. Who is the better steward? Somebody that has just a little bit of body fat. Not, don't think like super obese, but a little bit of body fat. No significant injuries, no heart disease, no knee pain, shoulder pain, back pain. That person, or someone that works out all the time and they have multiple injuries from working out. Back pain, shoulder injuries, they run all the time. So now they have knee pain. Who's the better steward? Bum, bum, bum. You ever thought about that? Well, our culture, and I am speaking of North American culture. I know many of you live in other first world cultures as well. But in our culture, oftentimes stewardship is put forward as a one-for-one with being athletic or muscular or fit, or you eat kale chips all day. Kale. And yet, I don't know if you've ever paused to just think about stewardship at the big picture level from a biblical perspective, first of all. So that's what I want to do in our first segment here. Let's think through stewardship. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to grab it. And I'd like you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4, we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 6. Of course, we have to go there. But I want to start with trying to frame this idea of stewardship. Chapter 4, verse 1, let a man consider us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Some of you have been wondering, have I started to use a different Bible translation? And the answer is yes. I picked up a Legacy Standard Bible in the past few weeks and have been tinkering with incorporating it here. So what am I reading from? Legacy Standard Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, that's how Paul wants to be regarded. Stewards and servants. Verse 2, in this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found faithful. And then he moves on to, but as for me, it's a very small thing that I may be examined. So I want to focus on the first two verses. Paul doesn't want the Corinthians to celebrate him, celebrate Apollo, celebrate Peter, rather see them as stewards and servants, stewards of the mysteries of God, servants of Christ. That's all they are. What is a steward? A steward is someone that is to be faithful. You have been entrusted with something, and your responsibility is to be faithful with what you have been entrusted. Consider the parable of the talents for a second. Some of us have been entrusted one talent, five talents, 10 talents. Some of you have a million talents, it seems. You're great at everything, and God blesses everything you do. Hey, more power to you. All we're called to do is be faithful to what God has entrusted to us. So in Paul's context, it's the mysteries, but stewardship in general is you're being faithful to steward what God has entrusted to you. I'd like you to put your body in that category. Your body is part of stewardship. Your body's part of, I didn't say you need to work out, just to be clear. Your body is part of stewardship. So when we think about your body from a biblical perspective, God has given some of us bodies that don't work like they should. You know, we have chronic fatigue. We have chronic pain. We have an injury from a very young age, and half of our life has been shaped by that thing. So I want you to just see that God has given you the body that you have, and what you're called to do is be faithful with that body. you do have a responsibility to steward it. Most of the time, what happens is when we begin to talk about this, my gym rats out there are like, yeah, it's water and protein. Yeah. It's kind of like my Arnold meets a screaming person. But I want you to be careful not to just jump to a cultural expectation of physical fitness. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 6. And I'm going to start in verse 19, but then zoom back out to the overarching context. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Okay, verse 19, when we talk about a temple, all we mean is a sanctuary where God's Spirit indwells you. In the New Testament, post Acts 2, we know that God actually indwells each individual Christian. That's God the Spirit. So in the New Testament, we have a very unique privilege because God's Spirit lives and dwells in each of us. He is a guarantor of the spiritual inheritance that we have, Ephesians 1. So that's unique. The children of Israel didn't have God's Spirit dwelling in each one of them, but we as New Testament believers do. Paul is using that argument in the broader context of chapter 6, verse 12 through 20. And in chapter 6, he is correcting the idea that the body is not for sexual immorality. So he's correcting the idea that there are some who are saying that sexual immorality is acceptable, and he's saying the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And then he gives about five or six different arguments for why you are to use your body in pure ways. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Do you not know that whoever is one with a prostitute is one with her? Do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? Over and over and over, Paul is making this case. So when we talk about the clearest passages on stewardship of the body, they're not exactly about exercise and nutrition. Nowhere in here do you see that you need to weigh this amount, have this amount of body fat, have your body shaped in this amount. That's not what it says. So if you want to use 1 Corinthians 6:19 to back up why you eat a salad, I think you're also missing the point to a certain degree. Maybe by way of application, you could get there, but the primary emphasis is purity, purity. Then we see that maybe there are other passages that we could make a stretch to. Paul rebukes false teachers in Philippians 3:19, and he says that their God is their belly. They worship their appetites, most likely a reference to a hedonistic life. They are led by their cravings. So in the Bible, we don't have a clear example that stewardship means physical fitness, but we do see that stewardship means sexual purity. To be a good steward of your body, knowing that the Spirit indwells you, means that you're going to be pure. But I do think you can derive biblical principles from the scripture about the way you take care of your body. Let me see if I can give you a few. So here are Dr. Gifford's nutritional principles. You guys ready? I have my headband on. I have on a sleeveless shirt right now, and I'm going to talk like Rex from Rex Wando. Number one, contentment. I want you to see contentment as a big part of your nutritional principles. 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and clothing, with these we are content. Now, that wasn't a five-star Michelin restaurant. Someday is a spaghetti day. You guys that know me personally know I'm not a huge spaghetti fan. Some days is a hot dog day. Some days we're warming up ramen. Where's my college students out there listening to this? We do recognize that part of the way we are to engage in nutrition is that we're just thankful for what the Lord provides for us. And it's not always a steak and potatoes like I might want. It's being thankful and contentment. Another nutritional principle that the Bible talks about is fasting. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 16, when you do fast, assuming that there is a level of abstaining from food for the sake of reminding yourself that God is your true sustenance. He is the one that sustains you. The word, Matthew 4:4, is what sustains you, not food ultimately. So fasting is also a nutritional principle. There is the rejecting of certain foods that Paul rebukes, 1 Timothy 4:3-4, that all things are made by God and they are given as gifts. So you don't have to inherently reject that type of food, shellfish, lasagna, pork, whatever those things might be. There's nothing that is inherently wrong to eat. So if you're thinking about nutritional principles, think about those. Contentment, fasting, not rejecting of certain foods. When you're talking about stewardship of the body, let me just mention two, and then we'll go to our break. The first is going to be principles of rest. Principles of rest means that God has given us a body that is limited and it must rest. There's a Sabbath rest all the way back to the Mosaic law, or even the example of God resting as a pattern for us to follow, resting on the seventh literal 24-hour day of creation. So when we talk about our rest, we do seek to steward our bodies, knowing that God is the one that gives us sleep, Psalm 127, verse 2. So how do you steward your body in part? You don't overwork it. That's not be lazy. That's not be idle. But you do recognize you need sleep, and you recognize that if you're going to break your body off, you will pay the consequences of that. Psalm 4:2 reminds us of that as well. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I'll pick up with these biblical principles, and then I want to connect the dots to how biblical counselors should guide you and what to expect from a biblical counselor. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues talking about this topic of stewardship of the body. And it reminds me of a resource, Addictive Habits, Changing for Good by David Dunham, available at transform.org. What does addictive habits have to do with stewardship of the body? Quite a lot, actually. Dunham does a great job of exploring how our choices, including those related to our physical health, can become habitual and even addictive. But he also does a spectacular job of showing you how to bring these habits under the authority of God. It's David Dunham's Addictive Habits, Changing for Good, available right now at transformed.org. And speaking of things under God's authority, if you have a high school senior in your home, or maybe you know someone who does, or maybe you have a younger child who will soon be making the decision about college, let me tell you about an incredible opportunity for young believers, the Masters University. We are very excited about our partnership with TMU. It is an amazing place where students experience academics, athletics, and top-notch life preparation, all under the authority and leadership of teachers and professors and administration who do not compromise to liberal ideology. They are committed to Christ and the sufficiency of Scripture. In fact, TMU just opened a state-of-the-art mechanical engineering lab for students. It's pretty impressive, like the entire campus of the Masters University. All of the details right now at masters.edu/transformed. And you know, and back to our topic of today, we always get drawn back to our biblical counseling resources that are available at transform.org, one of which is Counseling, How to Counsel Biblically by Dr. John MacArthur, who coincidentally has a lot to do with the Masters University. But this guide on counseling biblically is very comprehensive, and it will help you understand how to apply God's word to real life issues, including those related to our physical health and stewardship of the body. How to Counsel Biblically by Dr. John MacArthur. And before we jump back into our discussion with Dr. Gifford, I want to encourage you to consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Your support helps us to continue producing resources like Transform and all of the other resources that we have been fortunate enough to put out there over the years. You help us reach millions of people with the gospel. And details available right now at transformed.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues to discuss stewardship of the body. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible would tell us that OCD is not a disorder. It is the fruit of wrong believing and wrong theology.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
All right, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. We have been talking about the food. We've been talking about biblical principles of stewardship of your body. And in all fairness, there's not a lot of resources out there. On my social medias, one of the things I'll regularly get comments about are questions regarding exercise and food and principles like that. So I'm trying to use today's episode and next week's episode to help guide your thinking. And first of all, our thinking is guided by the scripture. And no matter what North America says, we are going to be guided by the authority of the word. So what have we said so far? Well, stewardship primarily entails purity. And if you are a gym rat spending 2 hours every day in the gym, you got your yoga pants on and you're drinking a protein shake and yet you're impure, let me just break it to you. You are a bad steward of your body. But wait a minute. You've never been in this great a physical shape. Hey, more power to you. But you are a bad steward of your body because stewardship entails purity. Purity. So don't use exercising as a means of justifying impure actions. No way, Jose. So when we get into the biblical principles, I said nutrition is part of this. The Bible gives you some guiding principles. It doesn't tell you caloric intake. Doesn't tell you if it's keto versus paleo versus vegan. It doesn't tell you that, but it does say be content with food, the food that the Lord has given to you. Engage in fasting. Don't reject certain foods as inherently being wrong. You have principles of rest. And I'm going to finish just with one thought and then get into how biblical counselors should counsel you regarding food. Why is not resting a problem? So if you're saying, you know what, all I need is 4 or 5 hours, I'm a machine, baby. Hello, machine moto. Then I would say, well, you do need to recognize that the only independent being in all of the universe is God, and it's not you. So when you're not resting and you're not creating a space in which you can rest, often you are being, don't ask me why I said it weirdly like that, often you are being this deer. Often you are actually trying to do more than what God's called you to do. So there, I'm not talking about you're in medical school and you're just grinding for a little bit. I'm talking about on a regular basis, do you bite off more than you can chew? Are you overcommitting to things? Are you being covetous and overcommitting to work? You need more money. Poor stewardship of rest means that I'm often not being faithful to what God has entrusted to me. So if we're beginning to see that rest is part of stewardship of the body, then we're going to carve out 7 hours, 8 hours every night that we're not doing something so we can be a good steward of what God has given us. Now, biblical counseling and stewardship of the body. First of all, what should you expect of a biblical counselor? They should help you think biblically about your food and your exercise. In fact, one of the things that will happen if you reach out to a biblical counselor is you'll complete what's called a personal data inventory. And on that, there are going to be questions about caffeine intake. There are going to be questions about activity and how active are you. There will be questions about sleep. There will be questions about alcohol, nicotine, or the use of tobacco. And when a biblical counselor is seeking to understand those, they're not there to slide into the role of medical doctor. If you have a biblical counselor that has a medical doctorate, okay, like they're the exception. But by and large, most biblical counselors are not dabbling in telling you what to eat, what not to eat, what medicine to take, what medicine to not take. In fact, I would suggest if your biblical counselor is starting to dabble in those things, then you just in a gracious way say, thank you for your input. I'll talk to my medical doctor about those things. But most of us as biblical counselors know our role, and we know that's not our role. We're not tinkering with people's exercise plans, and we're not telling them how many calories to eat a day. So what your biblical counselor is doing is helping you think biblically about food and exercise. So there are many times where I'm not going to say this is how much you should eat, but I'll say I think you should reconsider the way you're eating, because if you're not eating enough, of course you're going to feel exhausted and emaciated and underrested. You can get to the point where not eating enough actually leads to hair loss, gastrointestinal problems, you're real skinny, and then all of those are hurting your body. So that's the way that we're generally going to approach food. We're not going to tell you what to eat. We're going to encourage you to think about how to eat. The second is exercise or activity. Biblical counseling, we want to help you think biblically about exercise. And generally speaking, that is in the level of stewardship. So if you live a very sedentary life, then I would say, hey, you need to talk to your medical doctor or talk to a licensed physical therapist or physical fitness coach, whoever that is, and get some ideas on the way you could be active. But for most of us, it's just simple, like just go on a walk. For most of us, it's just stewardship of getting up and being active, riding a bicycle. That type of exercise is what biblical counseling is going to prompt you to, because there are many things that start to be a blessing from that. If we're just talking about being rested and tired in the evening so you sleep better, that's one of it. Being able to handle stress better, of course. Cardiovascular health, jackpot, ding, ding, ding. I mean, a lot of those things are affected by exercise and just living an active lifestyle. But a biblical counselor is not going to get into this is how many reps to do. Here's how you move from the bench press to the shoulder press and then do a little bit of running. Like, a biblical counselor needs to avoid that stuff. That's just a slippery slope that you get on. The last thing that you should expect from them is really just biblical principles regarding rest. And I do mean more than just sleep here. I will help people create margin in their life. They're living at almost like a maxed out capacity. Imagine the RPMs in a car. They are redlining. They're getting too close. They're overcommitted. They're burnt out. Their family's struggling. Their marriage is struggling. They're struggling. And I'll say, look, you got to back off some of these commitments. You need to have more downtime, more time for rest, which obviously includes sleep. But that just may mean that you have a Saturday off here and there, that you're not working 7 days a week and just grinding and grinding and grinding. So that's the way we're going to approach this in biblical counseling. So why would we even talk about this at all? Because we do recognize that the inner man and the outer man are intricately linked. We do not believe in dualism. Have you ever heard the term dualism? Think of dualism as kind of this Gnostic idea that the outer man is evil and the inner man is sacred and spiritual. So we just focus on the sacred spiritual. Rather, we recognize that our outer man and our inner man are connected. So in the scripture, the term outer man and inner man are used in passages like these. This is 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Yes, I'm getting older. I got gray hair and wrinkles and aches coming in, and it ain't awesome. But my inner man can be renewed. So we don't jettison the outer man and say, well, it's over with anyways. We just say something like, yeah, the outer man affects the inner man. It influences it, but it's not the driver of my inner person. So biblical counseling does care that you have a rested outer person, that you're eating, that in some way you're maintaining a level of nutrition. There's some level of activity in your life. You're not lying in a comatose state on your couch and wondering why you can't handle stress. So we do care about those things because there is a certain point in counseling where you are not counselable. You're not counselable. What I mean by that is if you're under-rested, you're seeing things, hearing things, food issues, then a wise biblical counselor is going to say, you need to go take care of the body issues first, and then we can meet together for biblical counseling. So that's why biblical counselors care. So when you meet with a biblical counselor, I would actually create a space where they can speak into that to help you think biblically about stewardship of your body. So if you're overwhelmed right now and your biblical counselor says something like, hey, like cheeseburgers and no sleep, you ever thought about how that's connected to the way you respond to stress? I would like you to have a space where you say, oh, well, yeah, I guess that does make sense. Or when they say, hey, I noticed that you drink a Mountain Dew right before bedtime and then say you struggle sleeping. You ever thought about the connection there? And you go, oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, of course there's a connection there. I just had never paused to see that. So in your pursuit of biblical counseling and seeking those principles, that's all that we're trying to do. One last caveat here, and then I'll leave you guys alone for today. I think that sleep oftentimes has physiological triggers, you know, increased heart rate. There are things like even just having to get up to go use the restroom that influence your ability to sleep. But many times it's an issue of our mind starts racing. And so in biblical counseling, when we start to tinker with encouragements towards people and the stewardship of their sleep, we're going to help them focus on the renewal of their mind and entrusting things to the Lord, which will facilitate better sleep. Literally, Psalm 127, verse 2 says that God gives his beloved sleep. So in biblical counseling, when we start to tinker with renewal of the mind, how do you proactively choose to trust in the Lord, to use the Jerry Bridges term, the result of that is better sleep. So it is my conviction, and I think I can prove this from the scripture, that the more Christ-like your inner man is, it actually has a healthy impact on your body. The more renewed your mind is, the more you're thinking on things that are above, the more you're honoring God with your soul and your inner person, it actually has a better result. on your body. And so when your body is just, it's running towards the point of being dilapidated, you do need to pause and ask yourself, what are the soul issues and inner person issues that are encouraging that? So that's where biblical counseling is going to help you be a better steward of your body. All right, we got to be done. In our next episode, we're getting boots on the ground. We're going to talk about food allergies and bodybuilding. So we'll be right back, I'll see you in our next episode, rather. Let me pray for you, and then we'll be done. Lord, thank you for these bodies that you've entrusted to us. Many of us are looking forward to the day when you redeem them and you remove pain, you remove the limitations that you have given to us in these bodies. Help us to seek to be stewards that honor you with whatever capacity you choose to give us. We ask for your help in this, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.